inside and restaurant and so on. The third deal we did in actual of architecture and design design often as a synthesis of the two others. Sandro has been one of the first Italian scholars in infusing information technology with architecture culture. The results of this activity are the essay Introduction to Information Technology in Architecture, which is also available at Policy University Library, and the IT Revolution Book Series, and several projects developed within each teaching activity at La Sapienza. The foundation of the NITO Group, New Information Technology Research Office in Rome, and the NITO Sicily Lab in Sicily as well. Among its essays, I would highlight the Giuseppe Terrani Life and Works and two brilliant essays focusing on Peter Heidemann, Excavation into the Future, and the other one on Frank Gehry, and finally the book Louis Sawyer, An American Architect. This essay reveals his ability to analyze and reframe the work of these architects in order to provide instruments and methodologies to the young generations and to the professionals. Sergio, in fact, is a really committed professor, able to shape entire generations of Italian and international students. His teaching style is also very important. In fact, is a combination of American methodology, probably the result of his period at Carnegie Mellon, and the Italian tradition. Currently, Sergio is also the coordinator of the PhD program in Architecture, Theory and Design at La Sapienza. As full professor, during the last year, he has been developing urban and architecture projects focusing on the city of Rome. This project represents a new frame where ecology, regarding a systemic approach, is infused with information technology, founding and providing solutions in solving the contemporary crisis and the opportunities of urban settings. This approach, focusing on crisis and opportunities, is also the foundational thinking of his last book, Architecture and Modernity, which I am happy to say So this project represents a new frame where ecology regarding a systemic approach is with information technology, founding solutions in solving the contemporary crisis and the opportunities of contemporary urban settlement. This approach focuses on crisis and opportunities is also the fundamental thinking of his last book, Architecture and Modernity. Again, I am really happy to say the book is under Albanian collaboration at Policy University, due to the commitment of a group of people led by Professor Damo. I want to thank again Sergio for coming, and I would like you to speak.
Thank you so much. Well, I didn't listen it too well. I'd like to have it repeated. Your introduction was so brilliant and so fantastic. No, I'm kidding, but it's really a pleasure. Was a fantastic. I think one of the goal of your life is when a student of yours becomes dean of another institution and makes such an introduction. I think this is a goal. So, but what is important for you now to realize that for a bit you just relax, okay? I'll try not to pass too many concepts. You had already a lot of very, very fundamental thinking. So we start making rings. The first one are very simple and very soft in a way. And then we go deeper if we can, if I feel that you are with me, we go a little bit deeper in the concept. But for now, just relax, okay? Just relax. So, okay. Let's, from where we start? Well, we start from God, of course. So the closest thing to God that we have, it is of course our Google friend. So if we go in Google and we ask Antonino Saggio, he knows a lot of me, but what you really need to know is only this piece of information that is the website. My website is really important for me because the way that I communicate and the tool through which I communicate are interlocked very much. So they are the same thing. So for me, what we are going to do really is providing you a series of instrumentality, a series of information, and a series of concepts that some of you may use in different contexts or can be useful for them. So in order to do that, the information must be already in the internet, otherwise it doesn't work. So as many of you know, every time I put a hidden link, that is the hidden link of this specific talk, and only the audience that is with me now knows where the hidden link is. It's a kind of theatrical joke, Johnny, to make the live performance meaningful. So each one that is a hidden link, this time we are talking about Tevere Cavo, that is our last chair project. So I thought a good idea was to put the hidden link here, but where exactly? Where we are in Albania, so we look east, here is the hidden link. So here is the lecture that we are going to see today. You like it? Okay, good. So, this is, as I told you, we start in a soft way, you know, we start in a soft way because we are engaged as professors, as PhD coordinators, as many other things, but at the end, really, what is important is that we are a group of friends. I think this is very important. The thing that John, that was underlined in all Johnny's talk, is there is a bunch of people that are very closely related to each other. And that the synergy that happened and they made all this miracle was because they were interrelated also as friends, not only as intellectuals. So all those interlocking is also an interlocking of friendship. So you know that, or some of you know, that the relationship between Polis and me, it is very strong. And is a long, actually, relationship if we think of Polis history. And in order to prepare this lecture and then to have just the first ring, the easy rings, I said, okay, but how many lectures did I give it to Polis in this year? And I wanted, and since everything is in the internet, and the audio also is in the internet, for some historical person here that will do a PhD among Polis' relationship with Italy, that will be very important material, only for one of you, probably, or even for none. So I create for this person all these links. So this is the lecture, actually there were 7 lectures about Peter Eisenman last May, and we did a workshop. And then we did the same with Lusauer. Lusauer was completely different. Again, we have lectures and workshop, means real projects. And that was done 2004, 2003. Then there was Tirana Architectural Week of 2 years ago, and I thought about Urban Green Line. Then we had another workshop about Terragni, again, with this idea that there is a communication of knowledge, structured knowledge, but also of design actions, and that was in 2012, and lecture and exhibit. I think the exhibit was organized by Lady and Bragasi, that I'd like also to thank and to remind as one a key element in this. And then in 2011, we made 3 lectures about the information technology, the Tirana lecture on Giuseppe Terragni, and the urban boys strategy, how to attack the city in this kind of situation. And then the first one. Now, the first one was back in November 2010. We were at the old building. I repeat, we were at the old building. And I came here when this place was under construction. So I put this link in and I said, all right, but do these guys work? These links, do they really work? Well, they work. Okay. So this was the first lecture, and look at it. It was about that book. We started about talking about architecture and modernity. This is how the whole thing started. And the fact that this book has been translated now was pretty interesting for us. You know, we are doing rings. with this energy that we pass one to each other, we are building. We are building things. And things are moving in directions that we don't know at the beginning, but there is the respect, the friendship. And then I said, okay, I was checking this, and look at this. This book is the first book of history of architecture that deals with key people. Not only, of course, deals with Peter, that I was strongly related to, and many others, but also speaks with people that one reason or the other, they were moved out of the official history of architecture because they were so important that could not be understood by the guiding force of architectural theory and history. And there are several of them, and they are discussed in the book. One, it is Takis Zenetos, and the other one is Johnny Allen. This was the pictures of John Allen that was presented in Polis in 2010. I don't think that I have to add too much to this. All right, so the relationship with Johnny, between me and Johnny, it is a very strong and magnetic friendship. But also for me, his thinking moved me from a modernist, deconstructivist type of imagination to a much more integral and interconnected and systematic and systems thinking and ecological thinking. It was a long process that would never end. I tried to transform myself following this idea, but I think the relationship with John Allen, this was a picture of 2006, we were in Istanbul and we were in a conference, astronauts. They were real astronauts at that conference. It's a very important picture to me. So what we are going today to talk today? Well, I decided to talk about our current chair project that is called Tevere Tavo. It's about strategies to deal with the issues of Tiber, of the river Tiber in Rome. What is a chair project? A chair project, it is an environment through which the different things that I do converge. So the work in Tevere Cavo, the student on the fourth-year design studio, they work on that, the theory and information technology course on the fifth year. They work on the same environment, the students that do their graduation, that is very important in Italy, and at the same time, there are people that are working on this, on their PhD, and there is the people of the NITRO group, that is, the active designer group related to this philosophy. They are all working on this. So it's a kind of container, a kind of a direction of a common thought. Okay, so we are working on this. Well, so after the kind of slight introduction of friendship and connection, we are moving a little bit more in this topic, okay? So I want to communicate with you some of the principles, some of the energy, some of the forces that goes around these ideas. And then I will talk about that with a combination. We are starting with kind of the main basic ideas and then move slowly to the project. I don't know if we ever have the time to see the project, actually, but everything it is accessed to this page so that you can do that. So in order to summarize and to make it very, very simple, it is 14 points, which is my God. I'm going to go through that, but the important thing is that you see how certain things that were implied in the lecture of Johnny are actually implemented in a real action within the architectural field.
Because at the end of this lecture, his lecture with all the slides about ethno-techniques, cybersphere, etc., with all those points to check, etc., at the end you say, oh, dear, my God, this is really wonderful, but how can I do it? It's kind of overwhelming, you know, how can I address all this complexity? How can I find my way through? And in order to find your way through, there are few things. You must be charged. You must have energy to go on this trip. You must be charged. You must be intellectually charged. You must have the sensation that this thing is worthwhile. And you have to accept that you run some risks. There are things that you don't know, but also you have very strong principles. So the combination of this will create the energy to go on, and then you will see to see very complex projects at the end, but they're all based by the same philosophy. Well, Tiber is the river of Rome. Rome is the history by excellence, you know? Each city may have a different frame through which you can understand, you know? But surely, to understand Rome, history is key. But history means a lot of things. Means also kind of the motivation of millennium of histories, and history and what we used to call legend are much more interrelated than we think. Not only because the legends we are learning are true to a certain extent, much more true than we used to think, but also because we as architects, as hybrid objects, we nurture ourselves of stories, generally speaking, not only of the high story, but also of legends, myths, etc. So the Tiber in Rome, it is the depositary of the birth of Rome. The birth of Rome cannot be understood then through the Tiber. And believe it or not, many things in Rome are double, okay? Not only that, the twins, the famous twins, but many things are at least double. We have two states, for example, in Rome, just to make an example. But there are many things that are like that. And we have also two legends that both related to the Tiber to talk about this. One is the most well-known, that are the two twins that are found in this area. It's a kind of pastoral legend. So the two twins were found here in a basket, and the lupa, the wolf, was giving milk to them, etc., etc., etc. This is Romolo and Remo. But there is another legend that is magnificent, and it is so beautiful and so strong, and probably is not a legend at all. That is the idea that the Rome was actually burned, as we know, through the arrival of Aeneas from Troia. From Troia, battuto dai Greci, divided by the Greeks, arrived on the Tiber, where the Tiber touched the sea. And he finds his way when going up to the Tiber. And then the story ends. And with that idea, Rome is really born with a kind of Etruscan mind. Because the Etruscans are the civilization, the most important civilization before the Roman in that area. And the Etruscans are born by their marriage, and now this is pretty much known, by the people coming from east, probably out of Troia war, with the local people. And that creates that particular mixture of that culture. So for us, this is very important. The idea that there is that story behind the Tiber, whatever we do, we keep that into consideration. And these ideas come here and there, like little volcanoes in the story of a student work. You know, you never know when this ideas will come and will combine with others. They're really like subterranean forces. And then, of course, we use poem and things to motivate that. So the origin of Rome is also very important from this mythological point of view, and also, of course, for the orographic point of view. You cannot understand Rome if you don't understand the volcanic origin of the city, the presence of the river as the crack in the moment that the thing was dry, and so on and so forth. And then there is another very important for us, that we call the imprinting of Rome. Yes, at the end, when you act in Rome, what is really some of the fundamental issues that are tied together to the history of the place, to the combination of forces, either historical or natural or landscape or geological, that are there. And we put all this on the concept of imprinting. That means that there is some force in the place that to which architecture respond in a way, and then reinterpret even in the centuries. So there is in Italy there is an imprinting that is military type on the north part, because originally all that part look at the life of the civilization through the Roman force and through the Roman grid. And this idea went through up to today, and then why an architecture like Terragni or Rossi are there. And then it's a completely different imprinting in the south. The south is Greek, and the south has the idea of architecture. The architecture is there as a poem to the sky and to the forces of the sky. And that this idea goes on and on up to contemporary architecture. But Rome is completely different. In Rome, what he wins is that kind of marriage between nature and architecture. And that is really coming from the Etruscan understanding and from the Etruscan way of being, really. And that relates with religion, with their relationship with the land. So the section is really the key moment, and the marriage between architecture and landscape is crucial for our imprinting in Rome. So these are things that we have always to consider in our project. And on top of that, there is the fragmented nature of Rome that is based on this idea that the layers over layers over layers coexist in Rome and then create the urban scene. So all these ideas are combined and live together in the process of centuries, and the concept of imprinting really means that you as a creator, you always look for your lost infancy. You always look for when you were a child in reality. And the more you get, the more you understand that those three moments in the first moment are some way embodied in what you are looking for. And what you are looking for continuously goes in negotiation with the complexities of the life, but those are forces that you have always to consider, particularly when you deal with creation in different fields. And the more you understand, the more it's like that. This concept has anything to do with memory. Memory is a simple one-to-one direction. There is not a memory. The imprinting is a search. The imprinting is a crisis. The imprinting is a continuous rethinking of what you were and what you had to be in the new situation. So these concepts are very important for us. Very, very important. That's why the presence of the vie cave is a key moment for us. Because the vie cave are these structures that are built by the Etruscans and are done for fulfill a series of scope that are not directly practical at all, they are not streets, are a series of combination of action to celebrate the presence of nature as divinity in everything people do. So for the Etruscan, nature speaks. For the truth can nature must be always heard, and anything that we do is in relationship with that. So the Vie Cave for us was a kind of scoperta, a very important thing that we discovered in a certain moment, and I remember that I've shown you the movie many years ago when we were here. It doesn't really matter, but it's important that you refill that. Because for us, it was very important ingredient in our thinking. In a way, these structures are what we may call ecological structures in the way that they represent a complex total thinking. There is not functional, there is not environmental, there is a lot of things all together. And in which the symbolic moment, it is absolutely key. And within the category of the symbolic, we put, of course, all our efforts through the idea that we as architects, we create images, we create also environment to be inhabited, but those are emotionally charged. And that is very important, otherwise we do another profession. Okay. You can see the whole movie if you want in another occasion. Okay. So that is the Viecale, alright? Now let's move a little bit farther. So the word is a word full of meanings, and we are acting within this favorable situation with charged by all this. That is the history of Rome, the history that was present there at the kind of foundation, mythical foundation moment. It is a moment that we always rethink about, etc. So, I assisted to probably, well, easily 30 talks of John Allen. Easily 30 talks. This is the first time that, as far as I remember, he used in any official talks, the word sublime. I put it differently, but it's the same concept. And it's the same concept in the moment in which we ask ourselves, really, architecture, what is burned for? Why architecture is there? And I remember that I was forced to find a rationale to what I'm telling you now, because one student of mine was telling, well, architecture, of course, is needed to be covered, to be functional. It's the old illuministic idea that transferred directly to modern movement, which it is true, but it's not the fundamental. It's not the fundamental issue. It's not the real issue that we're looking for. And I put it differently, the thing that says John, but the concept is the same. I think that architecture is are really a way to give meaning to the universe. Really, architecture represents the effort to bring meaning of the universe, to transform that chaotic presence into something that is meaningful for man. That is very important action. So I will express the birth of architecture. It's always a very interesting point. When we see all the stars, when we see all the stars, and we don't know anything about them, those stars are only dots. You know, we are all primitive men. The stars mean anything. But there is one particular moment in which we understand that one single star has a piece of information. That piece of information can be very meaningful for any reason, the north or whatever. And so in that moment, we put a stick on it. We put a stick to say, okay, that specific point of this chaotic universe has meaning. And we can capture that meaning through architecture. So the real birth of architecture is really in the effort to have meaning out of that chaotic universe, and then to start to find that. So we will move from that idea on and on and on, but that is the way that the word sublime has been can be translated in a real action. So that is also very important for us. But the link among that, with that, believe it or not, has a lot to do with information technology. And with the capability that today we have through information technology to understand, capture, and manipulate forces that are far beyond from what we see. We tend to think of an idea of the architectural actions like placing objects in space, like in Newtonian way, you know. Architecture is putting objects in space. But today, with that concept, we will not go very far, because we are in a situation of space, with a concept of space, in which the space can be really manipulated. The space becomes full, really full. It is dense, because it's full of things that we can act with. And the whole information technology brings to that idea with us. All the sensors, all the reactors, all the waves, we are really in a different concept of space. And we as architects have to manipulate that. This is a key image that actually was coming from the same conference of the first picture with John. I was in Constantinople, and in Santa Sofia actually was this incredible scene that one part was completely normal and the other part, exactly the half, was scaffolding. And that idea of the scaffolding is similar to the idea of the matrix. That means that every point can be activated if you have another point. And this also was going very much with all the experience of zero gravity of the astronauts, etc. So you understand that we are moving in circle, okay? We are doing with Aenea, we talk of the Etruscan, we talk of the imprinting of Rome, we look at the birth of architecture in a kind of unusual way. We are touching information technology because it becomes a very important point. All these ingredients are here. And the book series arrived to 38 books. And not only I'm very happy that Antonino has a key role, important role here, but also that at the same time is the author of the last book of the book series. So I decided to create a free download for you. Thank you. So, for the days of the conference, you can download the book of Antonino for free. I think it was a nice way to kind of celebrate this moment. So, if you don't have it, you can download it for free. I think it is nice. The book is a very important book. Again, in thinking of this total thinking, ecological thinking, and deals with François Roche, that will be here, we hope, in November. So, circles. Well, it is 12:54. I think I will not talk for more than 12, 13 minutes. Is that okay? It's a logical negotiation. 12 minutes, I think, is as much as you can handle. So, in the other, can you turn off the lights, please? In 2012, we talked about the Urban Green Line project. All those concepts were really embodied in the Urban Green Line project, and we basically had done everything that was possible to do with that. We had a phone call by the regional governor, we had books, we had an international magazine that was in French, English, and Italian. We did a catalog that is here with all the projects. We pushed as much as possible with that idea, and if some of you want to know what is the Urban Green Line, just look at the other conference of this. It is an integrated series of actions in the city, in which infrastructures played a very complex role together with many other actions to move the reuse and rehabilitation of the existing city. Okay? And in order to have value in the existing city, we have to create infrastructure. So now, I'm going fast for the sake of the time and anything, but we are working on the cyber. And how we are working on the cyber? Well, we work in a kind of similar way from some action point of view. So you remember probably that we tag the city. We find urban places in which action can be done and projects can be manipulated. And this tag system moves all the things that I said. Move the students from the fourth year, the students from the fifth year, and do projects and projects and projects in these areas. So with the link, you can access the maps and see the thing in real way. So now let's focus on the principles. There are 10 principles that for us are very, very important and are fundamental for whatever project we do. We use 5 key principles in the architectural scale, and 5 principles at the scale of the infrastructure, let's say at the urban level. So the 5 principles at the architectural scale that move all our projects are, number one, mixité. We believe in a combination of functions, and these combination of functions are really part of the information society in which we are moved. These are allowed because of information technology from any point of view, but you never have to make a confusion between the concept of mixité and the concept of the driving force. Each project is a combination of functions, but at the same time, each project has a very important driving force. So to a certain extent, police can be considered a mixité project if some housing will be implemented. There is a mixture of projects or things, but there is a very strong driving force that, of course, is architecture. The second concept is exactly driving force. The third is negotiation of public and private. We think that all projects are based on this negotiation. Number four is the important key role in architectural projects of infrastructuring. That means that our projects also always are in relationship with the urban context. And the fifth is what we call rebuilding nature. That means that there is a process, even at the architectural scale, that we have always to consider. So these 5 principles created lots of projects, and they still reveal themselves very, 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 very valid after many years. And then we have 5 principles that move all the projects at the infrastructure scale. The first one is multifunctionality. That means that for us today, an infrastructure must do a lot of things together. It's not only a way to go from A to B, but at the same time, it works in many, many other different ways, from an information technology point of view, from a green point of view, etc., etc. The concept of multifunctionality, again, is very much related to the informational era, because our computers don't do one thing, do 100 things, and that is the same idea. We don't do one thing anymore today, we do one thing that has a lot of multifunctionality. So the difference for people that is working on this idea that were not present before, that now there are articles on this, and then I put the links of the real articles, and the articles are coming out in the, let's say, in the official architects magazine of Italy, that transformed today completely online. So that means that, first of all, of course, you can read them, and second, that you can even translate them rather easy, because now with Google Translator we can translate basically everything. So each article will give you example and will show you a little bit what reality these things work. So this material is very important for people, I think can be very important for people that is actually working on these issues. And this goes in all of them. I'm finishing the cycle. This is about the idea of multitasking. These ideas about systematic green, what does it mean to do an infrastructure that creates also a green belt in the city, what are the examples in the world, etc. And then there are these other principles, that one, that everything we relate today and then which invest today has to do with information technology. This is a very important principle. If you want to accelerate, to get value, yes, I agree with land, for sure, but I also agree very much with information technology. If you don't put information technology in, in this moment, you will not go any far. And this has a lot to do also with infrastructure, living accessibility, and that this word, that this magic crisis, that at the end is something that always architect has to deal with, that is the unknown, what was said before as unknown. You have to take the challenge that you are running risk. You don't have pre-done solution. Why Tevere Cavo? Well, Tevere Cavo is for a series of words, the word da capo in Italian can be translated as empty. But the interesting thing is the capo in Italian means also a lot of other things at the same time. So the more we are working on that, I decided the work of the project Severe Cavo like in a fraction of a second. Okay, I didn't think of it. I said, okay, Severe Cavo. And then now it's coming a lot how much meaning these things have. First, that is of course is olo, but also in Italia cavo means wire. And also cavo means crack, and the Tevere starting as a crack, and more and more. So we are happy of this word, and for us is full of meaning. Examples. Alright. I can show you one. We've done so many projects that it's difficult to tell which one to see, and then I have out of my negotiation 8 to 10 minutes left. So I will see these things very fast in order not to overwhelm you. But this, for example, is a project, is a complex project based on this old world. What is happening here? How is the function, all the principles that we are talking work here? Okay. I want to see if I have a version online, or not online, because it's a bit work and takes a little bit of time to download. Let me see if I see this. Okay. And then I go here. Because to download it takes a little bit of time because the images are big. I prefer to see locally the project. It will be a little bit faster for you. Okay, let's see that project, 1 second, sorry about this. Okay, what is happening here, we are in the area of the Fornaci of Rome, is where Rome was built out. Because Rome was built out of Argilla, of course, and these are the places where Argilla was taken from the Roman time. The project at the same time propose a structure that is a bridge that connects two parts of the city. So there is parts that will tell the whole history of bridges, and important from that point of view. All these parts for us are extremely important because they will tell the whole story of the project that we are doing, and they are very long part. For some reason, is kind of lazy. You know, the Mac is a good friend, but sometimes he makes you really don't know what's happening to him. Probably because he's downloading it, I don't know why. Anyway, this is a very interesting and big project you can see, of course, if you want. There are many others in that page that will always illustrate these principles in actions. Are large design thesis, but also research projects more related to information technology. This one is a project that creates on the river a kind of an artificial gulf in which boat houses can stay. This is a very important project that goes down and creates an outdoor park, but with a big parking underneath. But the whole thing, it is thought in a very important ecological thinking. Each one of these work, you access by the link, and you will discover a word there. This Severe Cavo Water Playground is a project that deals with the different actions that in today city are possible to do along the rivers. We know that lots of cities, from Zurich to Berlin to many others, are reappropriating the river with using new technology, new leisure, new strategies. So all this project, for example, opens up very much in that direction, shows what is possible to do, etc., etc. So I'm talking 1 second of projects that normally take 6 to 9 months of work, and I understand it will not be completely easy for you to follow what's going on here. The thing that is important for me to show you is that from this page, for those of you that are interested to know more about all this research, it is there. And everything is accessible through the link. So the moment in which you understand this, you will see. Also, the Nitro group is very active in this, and then I will use the last moment of this talk to show you one work of the Nitro group, just to give you the idea that this work is also experimental, we also do things, etc., and the theory, the teaching, the writing, in some way, are interconnected. So, what's happening here is that the project was dealing with a big crisis. That was the crisis of military poisoning of one lake close to Rome. It has been discovered that close to one lake to Rome, Mussolini put up an industry of chemical weapons, and then after the war, these chemical weapons was completely forgotten there, and after 50 years, suddenly people found the fishes dead and people with cancers and so on and so forth, for the simple reason that the chemical things went down on the ground and then polluted the lake, and the lake was the main forces. So that was the crisis. And then in this thesis, the student, now architect, a member of the group that is called Dario Pompei, studied and found a technique to restore the area from the natural point of view based on trees, basically. Different type of trees that will extract the chemical out of it, and then we have the contact with different universities to understand how to do it, etc. So out of that idea, the whole strategy of the process was based on that, and also in a series of actions, design actions, that was kind of very soft, but would show and demonstrate that. So it was based on a kind of underground museum and entrance to the new forest that was created, and to a series of elevated paths that you see here, and you see probably here and here, that will allow this view of the thing. So why this is important to us? Because the Nitro group was invited to have a show in a festival in the same place where this thing was. And so we created a movie, and we made that installation that is demonstrated in this movie that I hope will be over now, and you will see. I hope now we are going to see the movie of this installation. Let's see if it works. I think it's a little lazy. Okay. So, what has been done has been built this sedana, which is this, that evocates the action of the project. And the pedana was really put in the city, that was the city polluted by these things. So the pedana was done in a way to evoke the project, and also to create an open path. at the same time, of course, censoring were using, were implemented there in order to transform that idea that we are not only in the object, but we are creating a new definition of space, and the space, of course, is it is interactive. So I hope it will go. So this is a very straightforward technology that here is very well known as Polis. What is particular to us is that this installation was really related to a complex circle, and really the project wanted to activate in a way the people and the community to make action. This was the effect. Of course, you run, and then the sensor read the presence of whoever passing. And for us, this action was very symbolic of other things. So this is the way that also we move idea from a theoretical point of view, a writing point of view, to action, project, etc. We will. The hope is really to find the reasons and the meaning of what we are, because with dealing with technology, often what happens is that we get so much excited about the tooling of the thing that we forget the meaning. It's a tough question, very, very, very tough. Very, very tough question. Because on the other side, as you know very well, Edian, I'm also very pragmatic at the same time. So on one side, I'm very interested to be able to finish this Tevere Cavo, to have a publication out, to have an exhibition, as we've done previously with Urban Green Line. So on one case that is... as every project we can work in all our lives, you know. There is not a moment which necessarily has to start the cycle. I think the new project starts by desire and by intuition. It doesn't go in my way by planning. I don't plan the other project. So far, I can say that like a dot, a dot in potential is 1 million things, you know. So the project is in the dot, and I will ask to this dot what it is, what you want to be, where you want to go, and how this vector has to move. I know that it's there with millions of other possibilities, but right now I don't know. But thanks for asking me. It's a real challenge.
Do we have other questions?
Question.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now the question is referring to the last question that you presented. And I would really like to know if it is, I've seen it before and it is interesting, the project. But I want to know, student curious, how this project is really interfaced with the inhabitants of
Okay.
So did it influence the quality?
Okay. Okay. Okay, so, yeah, thank you very much. You know, you know well Italy, being also very well connected to the PhD and everything, so you know how complex things are in Italy. So the project was originated by bottom up, which with a very smart idea, a very economical way to take care of this pollution of that area. And a way that will cost a lot of money less, etc. And also the area can easily become a communal property. So it started on that. Then the thesis was done. A book is in preparation, another book series. And then in this process, it arrived the opportunity to do the installation. So the installation was done in order to symbolically promote the project. It was also the real boards of the project were there in another part. So the people start to be interested. At a certain moment, this project arrived to the as an interrogation to European Parliament. So it was able to arrive up there to be followed and financed. But as many things happened in Italy, it was stopped locally. Because the actual mayor didn't want to go in that way. So until the new administration will take part, nothing will happen. I hope that the design of this project will be part of the new administration and then can be moved. But you know well this type of situation, and it's one of the reasons that we are in so many difficulties.
How do you respond to the criticism towards the so-called non-material architecture?
The normative architecture.
Non-material architecture.
If a person makes me the question, what you are doing is non-material, I would say that you don't understand space. Everything that we do is material. And this idea, just the way that you frame the question like that, means that who is ever making the question doesn't have a real deep understanding of what we are talking about. We are talking about of an idea in which space is dense. Space is built. Space is not an empty thing in which we put things. We negotiate with the idea of spaces in many different ways. The idea of material, non-material, is all based on the idea that there is the visual and that's it. But we are not done in this way. We are full of possibilities that has to do with a lot of our senses, a lot of our perception, a lot of our technology. So we are able to activate space in a way that is much bigger, and we as architects must be able to get out of that purely visual paradigm to move to a paradigm that goes with all the science, that we are activated in a space that is made by many things, and we should start to understand how to operate architecturally within that space. So the idea of material, non-material is just ill posed from the very beginning. To me.
One more question.
Hello, Laura.
I haven't been very interested in a while, sorry. So I was just very interested in what you said at the very beginning of the lecture, and you talked about imprinting. Imprinting is a word that actually I haven't heard or used in this term before, and it's interesting that you call it imprinting, because it's something that I find that I come across a lot here in Albania when we're trying to teach and we're approaching the city in general. I feel that the students, I mean, it's not a fault that I'm giving them,
yeah,
they're lacking the capacity to understand what imprinting is. And I think that the teacher, imprinting at the level of the urban, of the city, of the, it has a lot of components. And I think that it's easier for people like me or people that live in the city or were born in the city, like Rome, to understand what imprinting can be made of a lot of things. Not just the historical layers, your experiences. For a city like the future, but I think that it's like, yeah, so my question is, I mean, if you were to explain that, to find it in Tirana, these layers or these intentions, how would you put it to students who understand it? I don't know if
it's not too complex. Mr. Frank Lloyd Wright, has a completely different imprinting than Mr. Piranesi. Mr. Piranesi, the well-known, probably Peter mentioned Piranesi, I'm pretty sure, and Mr. Piranesi is the quintessential person that felt the layering of Rome, going from the archaeology to the old fragmentation and to the old complexity as is the mental landscape within which to operate. And everything that he did was based on that idea. So in a way, the real origin of Rome was in his blood, was in his dream, was in everything he did. That's why also he beat it so much against the Greek. He hated the Greeks. He hated the neoclassicism. He hated that. Because he had that idea of a Rome that is the Rome in a way that I try to describe. This set of ideas has completely nothing to share with Mr. Frank Lloyd Wright in printing. Mr. Frank Lloyd Wright in printing is that one of a Western that looks in front of his the huge extension of the prairie and the idea of the horizontal forces and the nature and the transcendentalism of that thinking creates his imprinting. Now, the imprinting means what your real basis are. And each of us has a different childhood, has a different imprinting. But it's a very difficult process to really move those ideas out in action. You tend to go in shortcuts, you know, you always, and it's very difficult. But then when you see Frank Lloyd Wright architecture, you see Piranesi architecture, you feel that. You feel that without those forces, that will never happen. And then when you see great artists, great architects, great painters, you always look at. I was so impressed by this once, Antonino, I wanted to tell you this. Because this idea of the imprinting, you tend to apply in this situation. Once in my life, I assisted to a conference of one of the Archigram guys. It was Aaron. And Aaron made the conference about the Archigram 3/4 of the conference was based on his town on the coast in England. It was a Luna Park town. All the conference was based on the concept of imprinting, how those things that he saw in the 30s and the 40s, the circles, the Otto Volante, all these things were so much important in the idea of the Artigan. So it's the same thing. So again, if I will touch Tirana, I will not even try to mention a single word, because I don't have enough feeling. You see what I mean? I should go in a lot of circles to try, through literature, to painting, to speaking with people, very slowly. You cannot go like that. That's the problem. Because it's a crisis, in reality. It's not a solution.
So, I'm going to close, and I would also say that probably the young generation of Polish University, our Albanian and Kosovarian students in Macedonia, they will have exactly the task to this deal, the implanting the public service, public citizen service, public chaotic, but also order city, which is Tirana. So it's a task that we give to the Albanian generation. So thank you a lot for listening. Okay, this is the closure of the conference. Thanks to everybody. Again, thanks to the glorious young team of Sergi, Samir, and Randa. Of course, thanks to our rector, Professor Aliadi, and to his family. And of course, thanks to all of the people that in a way or in another make these things happen. Have a nice afternoon.
Thank you.